We'll work it out.
When can you come back? Amen. Amen. Great job.
I don't worry about it. I knock it over every now and then. Don't matter. They're trying to hem me in up here this morning. Y'all notice that? David's trying to clear me a spot. You know, sometimes I just clear me out a spot and have a fit. And I could just about do that this morning, couldn't y'all? Just clear you out a spot and have a fit. I mean, worshiping, praising an almighty God that's blessed us in so many ways. I'd be afraid to start trying to tell you just how much the Lord has blessed us in this month of July. Now, I'm not going to go back any farther, but I tell you, in the month of July, it's just been a wonderful thing, you know. And I read a verse of Scripture last night. I think was gave a description of what's been going on in our church for the last month around here. Boy, we've had a busy time, hadn't we? You know. And at these times, you know, I'd look and think, we're going to make it. We're going to make it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 says, "Now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the Savior of His knowledge by us in every place." And I thought about how much description that gave of New Salem Baptist Church around here in the last month about we have triumphed. Amen. Now, we've come in here this morning a bunch of winners. Y'all ever thought about that? We have triumphed in Christ and the power of God. Every service that we've had in the last month, God has just outpoured His Spirit. And I'm telling you, uplifted, strengthened. We've saw things of God going on, and I've just been so excited about it. You know, I thought back about the month. You know, we had a Bible school. We had a Friday night singing. We had Tim Lovelace. We had Fred Bradford's birthday. We've had so many things going on in our church. And, you know, and God was just filling us every day with the Holy Spirit. He had blessed us in attendance. I saw the house sitting full nearly every week. And He had blessed us with His presence and His power, the Holy Spirit. And it just come in and just overwhelm and uplift us and you know, take care of us so much. And when I thought about that last night, I just got beside myself. So, 11:30 last night, if any of my neighbors complained, it was me out shouting. Amen. Stirred the dog up, and then he got to barking, you know. And we just had a fine time in the Lord because I got thinking about how God had blessed us in the month of July, seeing this church come together in prayer. Amen. And working together, hand in hand, heart to heart. And I got so blessed in that. It fired this old boy up. I'm telling you, I just got so excited. I was out there, praise the Lord! You know, and because I got thinking about what God had done in helping us to fulfill His work for this church in the last month. Come together. And not only was willing to work, but did it with excitement. Now, I'm all about that excitement, aren't y'all? Don't you just hate a dull church service? I do. Y'all thinking, boy, I've been in a lot of dull church services. Preached about half of them. Amen. But, you know, don't you just hate an old dull church service where you just go and do the same old thing, you know, nothing different. Amen. I like a little bit something different every now and then, don't y'all? I like beans, but I don't like them every meal. And I got thinking about how this church had come together in prayer and working together and the way God had blessed us. And I tell you what, I've come to a conclusion that there's not anything impossible for us if we believe. Amen. Amen. That if we believe, there's not anything impossible. A little bitty church, I believe we can turn the world around, don't y'all? Or at least we'll make them take notice that there is a God. And He is real. Now that's what we're about this morning. And I've just decided that I've come expecting to see a soul saved. Life's rededicated. Life's changed. Making a difference in your family and this community by this church right here in the effort that's been going on. Praise God this morning. I give God all the credit and all the praise. You think, well, I helped out. Well, it's because God blessed you with it. But I give God all the credit and praise. Now, you know, we've been in this mode for several weeks now, and I'm thankful to it. I'm just thankful for it that, you know, we're excited. And I got thinking about last night after I shouted a while. Then I got down out in the driveway and prayed a while. You know, and I got to praying for this church. Oh, I see. It just overwhelmed me. I had such a burden to pray for the church that God would keep us out of the religious rut that so many people get in and on the glory road. Amen. I mean, there's two ways you can go to church. You can go in that religious rut that so many of us seem to fall in at times, or you can get up on the glory road, and I mean just shout glory and walk and praise God and all things. And I've prayed that God keep us on the glory road. Amen. I want to look at Scripture this morning, St. Mark chapter 14. Y'all turn there with me, St. Mark chapter 14. I'm going to start St. Mark chapter 9. Let's start there first. St. Mark chapter 9, I'm going to start in verse 14. I'll get this right. Now, I want you to think about staying up on the glory road. Now, if there's one thing that I've learned in my history of pastoring churches, is that when you get people filled up with belief and filled up with joy, I'm talking about they're a dangerous weapon against the sin and ungodliness of this world. Amen. There's a lot of dangerous weapons sitting here in this church today because you're filled with belief and you're filled with the joy of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, that's a weapon against sin and ungodliness of this world. We're going to fight a battle and win because we've got a bunch of soldiers sitting here today. We've got people that's ready to go to war and tell people the right thing. When you get them filled up with belief and joy, get up on the glory road. Let people know what's going on in your church. I'm telling you, you're a dangerous weapon. I'm going to turn y'all loose on this community just in a little while. Amen. To make a difference. Now, you get thinking about this belief and this joy. You know, that's where we need to stay. Full of belief that we believe God. We believe God can. We believe God will. We believe God wants to. And then we're filled with the joy of thy salvation, as David put it. And we're dangerous weapons to send out into this ungodly world. You're a dangerous weapon to your family. Amen. That you might tell them the truth and they might come to the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and be saved for an eternity. I fully believe we've come here today and we've already been blessed. Praise God. I could have just went home when they got done and been blessed. Almost, but God said, preach this word, and I'm obedient. And so we get thinking about staying up on the glory road. Let's look at St. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed and running to him, saluted him. Just talking about Jesus, Son of God. And he asked the scribes, what question you with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and he gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. I spake to thy disciples, and that they should cast him out. And they could not. They could not. In verse 19, he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you, and how long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And you know what? We start seeing the what's taking place and what's going on. The disciples are doing the best they can, but because of lack of belief, they're having power demonstrating the work of God. So Jesus said, bring him unto me. Just bring him unto me. Jesus always believes because Jesus is God. And in verse 20, and they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the Spirit tear him, and he fell down on the ground and wallowed foaming. Every time I read that verse, I can imagine some kid in a grocery store having a fit, can't y'all? Can you? Can you imagine this dumb spirit in this young boy throws him down on the ground and starts making him wallow and foaming at his mouth? He's trying to show out a little bit, ain't he? I'm talking about the dumb spirit. I saw a lot of that happen. And I don't believe it was a dumb spirit in those children. I believe it was bad children, you know. They're not any bad children. They're some bad parents. I won't go there today. But anyway, I started seeing this and I thought, you know, I've saw that happen before. You know, this spirit just wanted to show out. He said, I'm going to show God what I've got. Isn't that a silly thing? Huh? That this spirit wanted to compare his power with the power of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the power of God. He throws his step down on the ground. He wallows. He foams. You know, he's showing out. He's showing. He said, this is what I've got. What have you got? Jesus is going to show you what he's got just in a minute. In verse 21, and he asked his father, how long ago is it since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And so this is something they dealt with on a continual basis for many years, no doubt, that they had to deal with this dumb spirit within this child. And the Father had brought him to the disciples to cast it out. They failed because of unbelief. Jesus is going to take care of this situation. And it said in verse 22, "And oft time he hath cast him into fire and under the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and bring and help us." And Jesus said unto him, "If thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." Now you tell me an impossibility at New Salem Baptist Church. You tell me an impossibility in your home or your family or at your workplace. If you can believe, God can handle it. Amen. And we're going to talk about staying in the belief of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we believe in the power of God and nothing shall be impossible. You tell me that we can't fill this house. You tell me that we can't worship and praise an almighty God. That if we can believe, it can happen. Amen. And so we're here today to work on your belief. You know, where we fall a little bit short and we have a hard time believing this could happen. I'm here to help work on your belief with the power of God demonstrated by the Holy Spirit throughout this church. When you leave here, I pray God you're believing. Jesus told him, said, "All things are possible to him that believeth." Believeth. Got trouble and your church not going the way you want? Believe it's going to change. Amen. Believe it's going to be different. Jesus made this statement in verse 24. "And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." Help thou my unbelief. And when you start thinking about this father that brought his son down and needed the help of God, he confessed, he said, "I believe, but help thou my unbelief." And we begin thinking about asking Jesus to help our unbelief. How many of you got up and prayed this morning, "God, I want you to help my unbelief. I've got a little problem believing that's going to happen. I've got a little problem thinking that God's going to fill our church and we're going to still see souls saved, that things are going to be different. I've got a little problem that, God, help my unbelief." You might want to start praying that. I walked this parking lot this morning and I believe, praise God. I'd pray a while about it. But after I prayed a while, God's helped that unbelief. I believe that we're going to have the best service we had in a long time here since last week. And I believe that we're going to have the best service here that we've ever had till next week. And I believe, and that's what we want to work on, your belief. I'm telling you, a Christian filled with belief and joy is a dangerous weapon. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the joy. In Psalm 51, y'all turn over there with me. Psalm 51 and verses 10 through 13. Now, David's had a little problem with belief. Amen. He's got a little sin in his life, and that's causing him to have a problem with belief. It's separated between him and God, and he don't have quite what he used to have. He used to have a closeness with God. I mean, and it had brought a separation, and he had lost a little of that joy and that happiness and that belief in God. And so David knew how to correct that. See, that's what we need to do. Find the problem, correct it by the power of God. When we start talking about belief, you need to pray and say, "God, help thou my unbelief." That ought to be a standard prayer for all of us Christians every day. Help thou my unbelief. And then when we get down to the joy part, in Psalm 51 in verse 10, David cried out and said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." A renewal time. A revival time you might have. I'm talking about personal revival where you get down before the altar and start crying out to God and say, "Forgive me of my sin and renew me in that right spirit that I once had." I've had times in church I'd be so excited I just couldn't contain myself. Other times I've been down to the very bottom of the pits, and that's when we need to start having that personal revival on a personal basis and say, "God, I want renewed. I want that joy that I had the first day I was saved." We raced tractors 17 miles home to tell them I'd got saved. Amen. Got saved out in the potato field. Plowing. Under conviction 3 days. And on Wednesday, I finally just pulled a stop on my tractor. Had all I could handle of it. Got down on my face, right down the dirt, and said, "Jesus, I want you to save my soul. I'm a sinner. And I want you to save my soul." My brother-in-law that got killed plowed up on his tractor and stopped and said, "What have you found, sonny?" And I said, "Jesus Christ and salvation forever." And I remember that excitement. We didn't plow no more that day. It didn't matter. It just didn't make any difference. We raced our tractors home to see who was going to be the first to tell them that I'd got saved by the grace of God. Then I went down around the neighborhood and told all them. Went down to the gas station where all the thugs and the drunks hang out, Jim, where I used to be. That used to be my place. That was no longer my place. New creature. Born again. Excited. And if you've lost a little of that excitement, if you've lost a little of your power to believe, a little of the joy that God gives to each and every one of us, I want you to listen to these scriptures today. I want you to leave here believing, filled with the joy, a dangerous weapon to a lost and ungodly world. He said, cast me not away from thy presence, nor take thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Look at that. And uphold me with thy free spirit. Now, we're all the time hunting the key to success in church. I believe we're talking about the key in verse 13. A key to success in church. A key to success in life. Being a witness for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Then shall I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Praise God, it's about belief and it's about joy this morning. That's what I'm preaching, belief and joy, that we go out of here fired up and motivated, that we teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee, under the power of the Holy Spirit of God, that we can believe and we can be filled with the joy. Most of y'all hadn't saw me out from behind that pulpit, and sometimes it hides my steps because sometimes I just near to get to dancing. Praise God, the power gets real in you. Just can't stand still. I want to go over to the book of St. Luke, chapter 15, verses 8 through 10, and I'll close in this. I like to use that so often. If you ever saw that take place, y'all are not up here like I am, and I'm sitting looking back. And you know, a lot of times, about halfway through the sermon, people just drift off. Praise God. Their mind's over mowing the grass somewhere. They doing the job, or they're thinking about cooking dinner. You know, they just kind of drift off. And I learned a long time ago, you can step up there and preach to them. When you get to that point, say, now in closing, they'll all look up. And now in closing, amen, get their attention. Get their attention. So here we go. Now in closing. Ain't that good? Huh? Ain't that good? See, now I've got everybody's attention. What's he going to close with? Acts chapter 15, verse 8. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it. And when she had found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And we dig into that situation. Here's a woman said she had 10 pieces of silver. Now, this is precious to her, no doubt. I don't know if that's all her living or if she had more or had somewhere else, but she had 10 pieces of silver, and that's a fact of God. And this is something that was precious to her. She cared about it, and it said she lost one. Amen. She lost one piece of the 10. Well, then there comes the decision time in her life. She thought, had to think, well, now I might be all right with 9, and I'll just go on with it. I'm not going to worry about that 10th. I'm not going to worry about that one part of 10, you know, and I'll just go ahead and I'll make do with the 9. And I got thinking about that's not the decision she made. She said, I had 10, I want it all. Amen. I had 10, and I want every piece of it. And then it starts giving a description what she went to get, gain it back. And I thought about how many Christians come into the church every Sunday morning that they've lost a little of their belief. They've lost part of their joy, and they don't go to the trouble. They've made a decision, I'll just get by without it. Well, you know, 10's good, but I can get by with 9. And so many of us running on 90% when God intends for us to have 100%. Amen. Now you get thinking about it. You know, God sent this message to somebody in this house today. I don't call names because I can't, but God is speaking to somebody calling your name. If you're running on 90%, you need to start searching for that other 10%, that lost piece. Now, it said that she began to search and seek diligently until she found. She made the decision, I'm not going to leave here. I'm not going to do with partial. I'm not going to get by on 90%. I'm going to have 100% of what God blessed me and gave me, and I'm going to find it. And so I believe there needs to be some searching and seeking of souls and hearts today that I've lost part of the joy. I've lost part of the belief, and I'm going to find it today at New Salem Baptist Church. It's here. Praise God, it's right here. You know, you might have hunted it all over the place, and all the time it's here at New Salem today. This is where your lost peace is at. You've been robbed of the joy. You lost a little bit of the joy that you had at one time. You lost a little of the belief that you could just believe that God could do anything. This is the day that you find, that you seek that which was lost. You don't leave here 90%. You leave here 100% belief and joy, a dangerous weapon to a lost and dying world. This woman made the right choice. God's going to give an altar call here just in a few minutes. And then it's up to you to make the right choice. She said, I'm not going to do without it. I'm going to find it. Your peace is right here. This is where you're at today. This is where your peace is at. You lost something in your religious life. You got down in a religious rut. Get back up on the glory road. Get 100%. And let's show the world what a small church can accomplish and what a small church can do. Verse for song. Likewise, I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. You want to have a little joy in heaven? Amen. Repentance. It's this nigh to you today. You lost a little of that joy you used to have. You lost a little of the belief that you used to have. Come and find it. Amen. Come and find it. God will give you a map to it. Come and find what you've lost today. Some of y'all doing a real good job back there. Y'all, some of you doing a real good job putting on a good front and a good face. I know there ain't none of you perfect. Amen. I can tell you by the word of God, there ain't none of you back there perfect. And I believe there's somebody in this congregation that God sent a message to and would have you to come find what's lost. And you and the devil's in this conversation. He said, if you go down there, they know you're seeking and searching for something. Well, God's down here saying, if you'll come, I'll bless you. If you'll come, I'll find it for you. I'll restore it unto you. If you're lacking on the joy, if you're lacking on the belief, you might be real tough and stand back. I did that on that Sunday night before I was saved. I stood back. And you might think, well, if I can make it 5 more minutes, we'll be out of here. I'm going to send this one home with you. God's going to be at your house. And you get there and remind you, you've lost something in your Christian life. Amen. You're not going to get out this easy. I'm going to tell you, God's put something in your heart that tongues won't cure. And if you're here and need to deal with that today, I'd hate for you to go away not dealing with it when God gives you the opportunity to deal with it. We're going to do another verse. See, I believe that the altars need to be filled up. I believe that there's some of you thinking, this is not my church, why should I go now? Because your peace is right here. This is where it's preached. This is where God documented it. This is where God condemns you of it. And this is where you'll find it. Amen. One more verse. Yeah. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. God's calling. God's calling. If you'll answer, he'll bless you in it. Appreciate everybody coming this way today. If you're visiting with us, I'm going to tell you, you could probably win a lot of places, but I don't think you went anywhere that we'd appreciate would appreciate more than we do you coming to be with us today. I hope that you go away and say, I've been to church today. You know, that's our attitude. That's the way we ought to go out of the house of God, that we've been touched. We've had the music. We've had the singing. We've lifted the name of Jesus, and he's touched us. Amen. You need to go away and say, I've been to church. Now then, my wife's gone on a shopping trip. Anyway, I don't have any plans. And if God didn't touch you, and you don't feel like you've been to church, if you'll stay, I'll preach again. I'm not in any hurry. And we'll stay till we get this thing right. We get it right. And I believe there's people that stay with us. That if you can't leave this church saying, I'm increased in belief, I'm restored in joy, and you can't leave here in that conscience and think, maybe they could help me. I'm willing to stay as long as it takes. We'll get it right. Get it right. Amen. All right. Appreciate this group coming. We'll get together and we'll set them up again. Next time we're going to advertise and we're going to fill a house up. If you want a back row seat, you better come early. Praise the Lord. Okay, any word, anything before we dismiss? Amen. Wasn't that great? Whew. Wasn't that a wonderful thing?